Blog Talk Radio.
JG the third. I don't know what it is about that beat, but for some reason that beat makes me want to like jump in and start freestyling. I know I can't. It just makes me want to jump in a freestyle
battle. Hey, you know what? I was thinking about that too. Like, y'all start spitting stuff. I was like, nah. I was just let it ride out. Hey, yeah, that thing go right there. That thing make that beat make you want to do something. That thing make you want to get ready for work or something.
Make you wanna? I don't know. I don't. Football players. I don't remember y'all using warm up because you don't really hear it. You know, after as far as like when the game getting ready to start. But I know for basketball, like if I would have remembered this beat, I would have used it. And speaking of using this beat to get it, because I used to use what was that song called? Get Low by Yin Yang Twins. Lil Jon. Knocking Head Off. We found an edited version, actually, if you remember that song, We Knocking Heads Off. And there was another song, I think it was Papa Roach, Last Resort. I don't know what it was about that song.
Hey, we was listening to that Papa Roach, too.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about.
We was listening to that and Korn. That Papa Roach, that's... I know what song that is. I know what song
that is. Last Resort.
He's talking about that. My Last Resort. He's talking about
that. Yeah, it's called Cut My Life Into Pieces. Yeah, that song.
Yeah.
Now,
I bring that up because
I'm wondering if West Virginia's basketball team on Thursday needed better warm-up music. Now, when you're at the NCAA tournament, they don't – you can't just pick out songs like you could where you make your own warm-up tape, and when you're from East Palo Alto, you use all local rappers. People ain't trying to hear that. But
no,
I don't know what it is about West Virginia, but I'm trying to figure out how they came out and just got blew out from the opening tip. It wasn't even close. Like, when you, in basketball, right, in all sports, there could be blowouts. But it should never start off as a blowout. You know, it's like, how did you – I don't think you should be down no more than 12. I'll give you 14 points in the first half. You know, late in the first half, but not in 10 minutes to go, you're down 20 points. That's just insane to me at a D1 level. What happened?
That's what I'm talking about, a D1 level, see. You're a big 4-year school on TV too, so that shouldn't happen. And I think coaching got a lot to do with it too, because I'm not too keen on college basketball, but like the momentum, like what are you doing? Are you keeping up with? Are you trying to keep up with their tempo? Or are you trying to create your own? I'm not understanding. Like, if you're playing, I don't know if they what kind of D were they playing? Were they pressing Kentucky?
Yeah.
Were they pressing
Kentucky? They weren't pressing. They was just. It wasn't like a zone press. It was just. They were just a little more aggressive than normal. It wasn't like a full on man to man full court press. But whenever you run the ball there, it was like a half court press.
Well, they should have switched that up, man, because from that score, it looked like the coach didn't adjust anything. And that just – I wonder what they were listening to before they went out there, because I don't think they listened to anything. I think they were just listening to what the freshman said, and they just didn't pay it no mind.
Now, for those that don't know, For those that don't know, Dexter Miles Jr. is the point guard, freshman point guard from West Virginia. And, you know, Kentucky's undefeated this season. And I think he said they were going to be 36-1 after the game tomorrow, because he said it the day before. And that's not really a problem. I don't think you shouldn't say – I don't think you should talk unless you can actually perform. You know, when I talked trash, I at least was averaging 15 and 15 or something. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an 8.5 rebound kind of dude, you probably should just play your role or something. But he went on to say that they don't play good. They don't really put effort on the court. And to me, that was something he heard in the locker room, probably from his coach. His coach was probably like, "All right, watch this, you guys. They don't really put forth too much effort because Kentucky can't get out rebounded on the offensive end. So maybe that's why the coach said it." And then this fool, as you know, Johnny, from your Weber State, going to, I think you said, Tulsa. You say something.
Toledo.
Toledo, going to Toledo, excuse me. You say something, and you don't really realize how quick it gets around, how it blows up, and that's going to come back to you. Because that other team, especially if they're decent or good, they're going to come back even harder. And most likely, sometimes your team ain't ready to back it up. Like you said, one of the other players said, "Oh, well, they're a good team," or something, whatever you said the other guy said.
Yeah, he said that through the game, he said that team is destined. Like, I'm not feeling that because it's like you were defeated before the tip-off.
Right.
Just off what they've been doing. Like, that's not how you approach a game. And you're right when you say, yeah, he said, well, he had confidence talking about 36-1, I'm sorry, but you're right when he said he shouldn't have said that they didn't play hard, because if he was watching once the tournament started and the scores of Kentucky's games, that just showed you right there they're playing. And they're playing hard. They're the number one team in the nation. I think playing hard has a lot to do with it.
Right. You don't go undefeated not playing hard. And as we know with many sports, you know, the greatest sometimes makes stuff look a little too easy. You know, centers don't get as much credit as guards because, you know, all the top greatest guards, people always feel they put in a lot more effort than centers like Will Chamberlain or Russell because they made it look so easy. And I think that's what Kentucky big men do. Kentucky big men, they're just big. They're not dunking on people. They're not, you know, I mean, they are, but they're not like, you know, sack attacking cats. And so they make it look easy because they're not doing that. But kind of like what Floyd Mayweather said, it looks good until you actually on the court or the field with you. And then it's a whole different story. And I have a couple problems with what he said. One, y'all weren't that good in the first place. Y'all not even close to undefeated, so how are you going to talk about another team? Two, you can't come out and go 0-1 from the three, 0-2 from the field, 0-1 or 0-2 from the free throw, one rebound and no assist in 20 minutes. You just can't do that. And his team didn't even back up.
He wasn't ready for that pressure. He wasn't ready for the amount of pressure that he added to himself as well as his team. See, UK, I don't know. I know if Kentucky fans were there, you know they was saying something. Because
they chanted his name when he came on the court. Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't ready for that. Yeah.
Well, didn't you say, like, using your example from River State, what happened before you guys went to the Toledo game, and what happened when y'all was there, and how did the game turn out?
It's crazy because this was before Facebook. This was before social media and how crazy it is now. So we're at Weber State, so we're doing some little pregame little firecracker grip hero stuff, you know, just running little low pads or nothing, just doing walkthroughs and all of that, and then going over the itinerary, where we're going to fly, where we're supposed to meet at, the hotels and all that stuff, right? And a reporter comes over there and he wants to talk to me, so I sit there and talk to him. Because, you know, I'm just going off of, you know, what we watched on film. I seen him against Penn State. But mind you, I came from Putney. I came from a team that was hungry, like a pack of animals. And we didn't lose too many games. We lost two games in 2 years. We didn't lose games. And we talked crazy, and everybody backed up everybody. And so I try to carry that on at Weber, and it was a whole different ball game. But I didn't know this yet, right? So
right.
I'm getting interviewed. He's asking me, well, what do you think about Toledo? I'm like, well, they're okay. I mean, they look cool. I watched film of them playing against us, Penn State. I can't remember the quarterback that was at Penn State. I think it was Curry or something. Curry was a black dude. And he, you see, when I watched film on him, he used to run around, you know, because I'm looking at Toledo's D. And he was running around like he was Michael Vick. And I said that. I said, yeah, that Penn State dude, they didn't look too good. And the quarterback was running around. I think his name was Curry. He was running around thinking he was Michael Vick. There's only one Michael Vick. And I was like, I seen our game. We played last week. We played, I think it was Western Colorado or some D2 or something. We blasted them by like 40 or something. So I'm feeling pretty confident. You know, I'm like, our team looking, but mind you, that team was a D2 team. It wasn't no D1 blue chip school, you know. But I'm just going off of what we did and the film I watched, and I'm feeling pretty good about our team now. If we would have lost our game or barely won or stuff, I probably wouldn't have said so much. But like I said, I'm coming from footy. I'm coming from we was the best team in California. I'm from California Player of the Year. I'm really feeling myself. And when we're on our way there, we get in the airport. They got newspapers. We land up in Detroit. And then we get on this charter bus to go to Toledo. I'm looking in the newspaper, and there's their head coach. And that was the year they had Chester Taylor was their quarter was their running back. I can't remember any other players, but I remember Chester Taylor. He went to the league too, but he was a running back over there. And I read the article, and the head coach was like, "Yeah, Johnny Gray's got foot in the mouth to feed. He went to a D2 team, and now he's talking about D1 single A. We're going to show him how Toledo plays football, right?" So when we get there,
How did you take that when you first saw it? Were you laughing? Were you smiling? Were you like, ooh, what the
when
hell?
When I seen putting him out to Z, it kind of cracked me up. I looked at it like, you don't know me, dope. But when the coaches, my head coach and staff was coming talking to me, I was like, Josh, you got to watch how you talk because it can get around. It can get around. But I really still wasn't paying it no mind because I'm going off of what I've done in teams I played with. So we get to the game, people in this glass bowl, that's the name of their stadium. And every time I touched that field, they were doing this, Johnny, Johnny. He's like, oh, you guys are better than Penn State? You're better than Penn State? They're better than, like, oh, you think you're that good, huh? Like, they were talking crazy the whole game, man. We lost. Yeah, we lost 50-0, dude. And it kind of puts things in perspective. And, like, after that, I really didn't talk too big about opponents that we were playing and stuff. I didn't really talk about it no more. I just said, we're going to go play and see, we're going to see what happens. Like, I didn't really – if I wanted to say something, I didn't. Because that game right there, it taught me a lesson right there.
Well, what happened to you? Like, did they come harder at you, or did the whole team play hard on both ends, or did your team, like, soften up?
I feel my team wasn't behind me. Like, that's, and I still feel that to this day, because I could see it in their eyes when I was talking to them after quarters and at halftime, and they just, you can tell when somebody's defeated. Like, you can just look in their eyes and see it. They're not ready. They wasn't ready.
Right.
And then if it falls back on you because it's a team. It's not like boxing or somewhere. It's just you out there, or a UFC fighter, golf, or tennis, or individual sport. It's a team thing. So it's all on you. But when you're with a team, it's different. Like, you got 40, 50 other individuals that we all supposed to be together. And I just felt that, I'm not saying everybody on the team was feeling that way. I could just tell the majority of the team was not, they weren't about that action. They weren't ready to play those guys. And once the game kicked off, I could tell. It just was no way. We had to punt like 4 or 5 times in the first half, and that team scored every time they got the ball. So that game's over. It's over. You can't do that. And look, they were scoring on one play drive, touchdown, just running streaks. The corner's just getting ate up on fades and streaks. I'm not afraid to say it. I tagged it to some Weaver State alumni guys too, so hopefully they listened. They can chime in and say something, try to tell me a different story, because that's what it was. And I would love to hear them say something.
Now, what happened after the game? How did you deal with me?
Man, after the game, look, Busta Rhymes was performing. He was performing a free concert after the game. But we got beat so bad, our coach was so pissed off, we didn't even get to stay. He just threw us on a bus, went to the airport, flew back to Utah, man.
See. Did you have to talk to media?
Still had to talk to media because I was one of the key players on the team. So every week I still had to talk to media. It's just, I bit my tongue with a lot of stuff. Because then I seen it. I seen and I was a junior. I wasn't a senior yet, so I was still an underclassman. There was a lot of seniors on the team too, so I didn't. I talked when I was asked questions, but I didn't really get real serious with answering. Like, what I really wanted to say, I wouldn't say. I'll just say the political thing, like the right thing to say.
PC version.
Yeah, I want to be a good soldier. A good soldier. Don't tell the truth. Just, say the cute stuff.
Well, before I get back to West Virginia, I just want to ask, did you ever end up breaking Weaver State's records in your last 3 games? Did you ever beat the single? Did you ever end up breaking the single season record?
No, I missed it. I missed it by 30 yards.
Oh.
I missed it by 30 yards, but I got all-purpose. I still got the all-purpose record for yards in a season. But I missed the single season one by, I think, like 30, 35 or 36 yards or something like that. But it's funny because there's a lot of guys that broke the record. They were there 4 years, and I was only there 2. But that's a whole other conversation too. But, it is what it is.
Well, what I was going to say about the West Virginia after, and I asked you the question about what did you say before, how did the game go and after, because what really made me upset, Daxter just looked pitiful. I mean, he was, you ever seen somebody, and I don't know if this ever happened to you, but you know how, like, you don't want to show that you don't have no confidence, so you try to get a certain look? Players like me know when you try to act like you ain't nervous or fucked up in the head at this point. I knew Daxter was done mentally. He knew he put his foot in his mouth. He couldn't do shit, and he still had to get on the court. And then when he's on the sidelines, he's not really focused. Like, his eyes are looking straight, but you can tell in his head is going every direction but forward. And after the game, this fool hid in a handicapped bathroom. Now, that's the part that really made me mad. You supposed to be like, damn, I got to deal with this shit. I mean, and, you know, just today's society in general, I think we lose integrity. I know people don't think interviews are, have any integrity, but I'm like, if you're going to say something before, you got to be man enough to say something after. That's where
you
I mean with integrity.
You do, and he's a freshman, so, you know, this could be good for him. This could be good for him in the future, in his future years there at West Virginia, because I heard he's a good basketball player. So in his future years at West Virginia, this might be a blessing in the lesson. Like, this might be a good thing for him. But, yeah, you talk the talk. You stay talking. Don't hide in the bathroom after y'all got massacred. You know what I'm saying? Come back up like a man, wipe the bruises off, and talk.
Look, I learned my lesson. He's probably always going. This could be like, you know how we say college has that moment. That could be his downfall. Like, he was. I don't know who told you he was good. I mean, I don't know what you call good. 7 points, 2 rebounds in 20 minutes. I don't really know. I wouldn't think it was good unless he was dropping dimes left and right, but he's only averaging 1 assist. But he's a freshman. Maybe that's what I'm looking at. Maybe I should look at the fact that he's just a freshman in college. But I'm like, man, you know, I said something like that before against the rival school when I switched to Southern Oregon. I'm like, ORT? Oh, they ain't even got nobody that can match with our inside. And then I think our fault came from, I think our little mishap came from coaching. Because the players are good, but the coach, like, I don't know, some coaches when they play rivals, lose their mind worse than the athletes do. And we had some wins, but, you know, first question after the game, I thought y'all was going to beat them. What happened? That's a horrible question right there. I felt like Lou Gehrig Blunt. Remember when he punched that dude? I felt like I wanted to just punch dude.
yeah,
why did you just ask me, of all questions, why did you come at me like that? But, you know, like you said, I had to take it. I said something, I got to back it up. Like, you know, I was just like, yeah, you know what? They matched our play and they hit shots. And, you know, I said something. This dude, Dax, was like, yeah, they're just a good team. I'm like, yeah, you sound like a punk. You messed up. So, like,
I mean, you lost. I mean, you take it on the chin and you walk hard. That's what I mean. That's just what's going to happen in life, man. You're going to win some games, you're going to lose some games. You know? But, when I seen that game, that score, it just looked like they didn't even come to play. Like,
dude,
they didn't come to play.
I never. High school, we don't count. That's a whole different level. You don't have as many teammates. Things ain't good. But on the next level, community college and university, have you ever got hit that bad at any game? I've been on a team that got hit that bad, but I wasn't playing that game or that part of the game. We played San Francisco City. We were down like 3 before the coach took me out for the rest of the game for personal reasons because he had an attitude. And I had an attitude. He just said, you're done. And then all of a sudden, we get hit by, like, close to 50. It was, like, 48, like, 98 to 50 or something. But I wasn't on the court. But how do you deal with getting blown out that bad? And that was first hand blown out. I don't know. I would have lost my damn mind.
So when we played, when I played against City 2, the first year, it wasn't too bad. I can't remember. I think it was like, then we put up 13 or 14. They had 26, 27 or something like that. But then the year after that, my sophomore year, we were losing like 30 to 7 or 9 or something like that. And I pretty much did what you did too. I was pissed at the coach because it just felt like every other game we played, we just out-coached everybody. But every time we played City, it was like the Waterboy movie. It was like that coach just had Spurfect pimped out, like had him hold his belt loop, man. And I called out Spurbeck. I'm like, shoot. I see Spurbeck. I'm like, coach, are you scared of this motherfucker over here? And he kicked me out the game after that, though. When I said that shit, it was like the fourth quarter. Because I'm pissed off. I'm like, no, we've been beating everybody's ass, and we come play these guys, and we just can't do nothing? I'm like, are you scared of this coach? And he kicked me out, dude. I sat out the whole fourth quarter when I said that shit.
And what happened? Did y'all get blown out worse?
Because we had a good D too, so we didn't get blown out. I can't really remember. I know the game was out of reach by the fourth. It just wasn't happening. There wasn't no way we was going. We was done, and we knew it. Like I just felt the coach just like that coach had our number, man. He knew what we were doing. He knew our audibles. He knew the scheme. He knew everything. Like before we even came out there.
let alone
Frisco known for getting the best recruits all throughout the nation too. You know, so
right.
They hold D line was from Florida. You always hear big ass D linemen from Florida. They're all talking country. You know, they're all of them. You know what I mean? Like it was pretty much a wrap because they running like gazelles too.
Yeah, see that. I don't know. I couldn't handle a 50-point blowout. We got a caller, but I just, as I said before, like that's why I would like a coach like Chaney. I know the game, Gerald, his sports have changed, but like Chaney said, he's like, I'm going to knock you on your ass. You ain't just going to be lighting us up like that and getting away with it. Like, I've never had to foul nobody like that. And I'm usually a straight-up kind of player. Like, I'm going for the block anyway. But I could just imagine at one point that I might do a hard foul on a dunk or a layup just to know that you ain't just going to be scoring on us that easy anymore from this point on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. West Virginia didn't have no heart. They didn't even play aggressive, and they were getting their shots blocked left and right. At this point, you can't just drive in no more. You got to do something else, and that was another thing. Coach Huggins, West Virginia coach, didn't even change up their offense like he said earlier. He just kept doing what he was doing. And when you're down 40 points, you got to change it. 909. Oh, he hung up. Well, your 909 fan just hung up. Oh, he's back on. Let me take this. 909, you on.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm in a car right now, so I apologize for the shoddy connection. But I was looking forward to talking to you, so I wanted to give you a call.
Yeah, man. Right now we were just talking about we were about to transition to the NBA, but we were talking about if you watch college basketball, Daxter Miles Jr., point guard from West Virginia, shooting himself in the foot after talking about Kentucky and his. During the game, he just didn't play at all. I didn't even know he was on the team. And then after the game, he hides in the bathroom like a little chump from media. So I don't know if you – I mean, that's what it is. I know these kids are young, but I always say if you can do one thing, you can do the other. So if you can shoot off at the mouth, then you can take it like a man. But maybe that's a different philosophy. But what do you think about that situation?
Well, I agree. I mean, if you're gonna run your mouth and talk a good game when things don't go how you expected or foresaw or, you know, popped off about, you got to be able to take it like a man and be able to step up and congratulate the other team or say I made a mistake or, you know, do whatever it is that you got to do to man up if that's how you want to put it. But I'll be honest, I've been running around. We're traveling right now, so I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot of the NCAA tournament. So I'm not exactly sure what you guys are talking about right now, but on the topic, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that's actually what we were talking about, is, you know, what he said. That's what we were talking about, what he said and how he dealt with it. And I asked Johnny, I don't know if he ever told you the story of when he went to Weber State, and they were going to play Toledo, and he had the same situation. He was talking about, oh, they're all right, and they, You know, they barely beat Penn State. And then he goes out there and dealt with it, and they and his and Toledo dealt with him, and it changed his way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard briefly when I called in, I was listening for about 30 seconds about Frisco. Is that what you're talking about? You're talking about Frisco City, John?
Well, yeah.
Knowing the audibles and knowing all that?
Yeah, like, when we played City twice, and he just felt every time we played any other team, we just dominated them. Like, they couldn't stop anything. And if they did try to do something, we had a backup, a counter, or we had something else that waiting for them just in case they try to stop one thing. And you know, like when we played over the bridge, Union City. Damn, I can't remember the name of that.
Chabot.
They were like, okay, they got the best rusher in the league in college right now. Oh, we're gonna stop him. And if they do, they put eight guys in a box. But we got Mike Riddell on the outside, and we got Grant Mantle too. So yeah, they stopped me for 70 yards, but then Travis Cotho for like 450. And we
I remember.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was saying. But like when we played Frisco, it was just like it didn't matter what we did.
Well, part of the reason I think that, because I was talking to you, Johnny, we were having that conversation on the phone about, we were going to talk about it briefly, but about Chip Kelly said that the culture trumps scheme, and his whole idea of it was, you know, that the culture that you have on your team will all, if you have the right culture, you will trump a good scheme offensively or defensively of the other team. But I don't necessarily know I believe in that 100%. But when you have a stud at every single position, you can have a shoddy scheme and still be successful. And that's kind of what I feel like Frisco, they had D1 players at every single position because those guys were all kickbacks that either weren't ready mentally. Because, you know, you're playing Division I football, you're under the microscope. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're immature or you're not the best decision maker in the world, they know that – you know, your idiotic behavior is going to end up biting their squad in the ass. You know what I mean? So they'll say, hey, this kid needs to mature a little bit. Let's kick him back to San Francisco City College, you know, and then he's going to mature, grow up a year, spend another year, you know, playing and being on a team and, you know, and being taught some life lessons by the coach. And then maybe if he's ready his sophomore year, we'll bring him back. JG, I think in 99 – They sent like 23 or 24 kids out on D1 scullies. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what are their kicker and their punter too? Or they're that deep, or they're sending multiple guys at the same position? You know, because they're so talented.
Yeah, and a lot of them were leaving after 1 year. Like they weren't even there 2 years. They were there 1 year. They're gone. All D1s too. D1 single A.
All D1s. They're not playing around with anything else. I mean, that's the thing, you know, like you said, you know, we were killing people, you know, because I think we had a good coaching staff. I mean, Coach Strasser was the real deal. Furbeck, I mean, he was an intelligent football coach, you know what I mean? You know, Coach Boyette, those guys were intelligent football coaches, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, we had an answer. But you can have an answer.
Yeah.
But when you got guys that are, you know, that are compensating for – your scheme with speed or with strength. I didn't feel when we played Frisco, I felt like I was handling my business. But that's okay because there's a guy at linebacker that's filling the hole, you know, twice as fast as anybody else we played the whole year because they're such, you know, outstanding athletes.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm with you. I agree 100%. Hey, have you guys talked in the NFL today or what?
No, we haven't got to it. Was that done?
No, go ahead. I'll wait for you.
I'm just curious if you guys talked to any free agents here. We don't even need to go the Niner Raider route. I'm down to talk about whatever you guys, you know, got going on as far as, you know, what's your guys' take on what Chip Kelly's doing with this backfield of his, man? What are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that because I actually try to tell Johnny we can't talk Niner Raiders every episode. I don't even – it gets boring to me, but we have talked about the Eagles. And at first I did question Chip Kelly. I was like, dude, what in the world are you doing? But if he is a system coach, if there's players he want, don't want, to me it's not no different than what Pete Carroll did. I think when he first came, Pete Carroll was letting people go left and right. And over 2 years, he started just getting the players he wanted. So I said, with Chip Kelly, we just got to see what happens. And then, you know, I know some people don't really care about DeMarco because he had a good line and he fumbles. And Ryan Matthews get hurt. But I'm like, actually, he did exactly what he wanted with that offense. I do think he should have tried to save, is it Jeremy Maclin that left? Or I think he should have tried to keep him, but, you know.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin went to Kansas City, of all places. He didn't throw a freaking touchdown to a receiver the entire year, which is a little interesting. And Alex Smith has not thrown the ball down the field, so I don't know how wise of a decision that was. But I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I think he should have kept that. I'm not sure about Sam Bradford because he's also injury prone. But I think Sam Bradford is back with his first coach he had. And I think that it might work. I'm now at the point where I believe he knows what he's doing, and I just got to see if it'll work. I know there's people out there
that's something up. There's something up his sleeve, man.
That's what I think. That's my philosophy.
And
he's preparing for something on
Sam Bradford to pull DeMarco. That had to be a trump card to get DeMarco Murray. Because he did play with him at Oklahoma. They was roommates or whatever. You know they talk all the time. And that's probably what kind of persuaded him to go over there. You know.
I agree. I would bet to say that come April 30, because the draft's on April 30th, correct?
Yes, sir.
On April 31st or May 1st, I don't think that those three players will still be on the Eagle squad. I don't think DeMarco, Ryan Matthews, and Sam Bradford will all still be in Eagle uniforms. I think he's putting himself in a position to make a move on draft day. I could be wrong, but how does that make sense?
I am drinking that same coffee. It's trade bait. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think that is.
If it is, then it's still a good move. If he really wanted Mariota, even though I don't trust what he says as much as what he does. And we've already seen when he left college, he's like, I'm not leaving, and 3 days later, he's gone. So I don't really trust what he says. But if this is his move to get Mariota, then it was a good one. He probably don't want to tell people because he knows they'll start using leverage against him. Like, oh, okay, you know what you want to do now. But either way, I think he's doing what he should, and I think it'll work.
Yeah, I agree 100% because it doesn't make sense. I mean, you got Shady McCoy on your squad, and you're paying him $11-plus million a year, and then you go out and you make a move for two injury-prone running backs for $11 million a year. I mean, between the $8 and change they gave DeMarco and the $3 and change they gave Ryan Matthews, they're paying the back the same amount of money. So why would you do that necessarily unless you're jockeying for a position in the draft? Get your boy, you know. That's what I've been listening to talk radio about the whole Eagle situation. And they were saying that that you know he had wanted to make a move for Mariota and he kind of let things happen. He'd had 2 years with the Eagles personnel that he came into, and he went 10-6 2 years in a row, made a playoff appearance, lost. So he's like, okay, now I'm gonna do it my way. And they're you know University of Oregon East Coast now. You know they got I think they have 9 players right now on their roster that have played for Oregon, and I think he's like, all right, I did things your way for a couple years, now I'm going to do them with the players that I want on my squad. So, Shady, bye. Now I'm bringing these guys in to make moves for my quarterback that I recruited and I brought into Oregon. You know, is it going to happen? I mean, I'm not a fortune teller, but the way things are falling into place right now, that's what I think is happening.
And he's packing. He's building enough ammo to make a team to make a team pull that trigger. You know, it might be a 2-3 team ordeal. You know, the NBA, they do it all the time.
Oh, all the time.
You know, three NBA team trades.
Yeah.
And if you look at the free agency, what's been going on since the free agency market opened, it's been like a lot of NBA style type trades and pickups. If you look at all what these teams are doing, like this season is crazy right now.
It's crazy, man.
Start yet?
No, it's crazy.
And so what about Dallas not paying them? Do you guys think Dallas should have paid Murray, or are you trusting that they'll get a running back in the draft?
I think that I would say more than not, DeMarco's success is a result of the plan that Dallas Cowboys, basically Jerry Jones, is set back a little bit. And, I mean, they've drafted offensive line in the first round the last couple of years, and I think that they're thinking to themselves, hey, we have arguably the best offensive line in the game right now. You know, why pay DeMarco? Because, I mean, eight plus mil a year for a running back, that's on the high end, you know. And they're like, we can get another guy in this system that can be as productive as DeMarco. So, you know, I don't blame them for not paying him, you know, because they're tight on salary anyway. So why burn it when you have an offensive line like that? I mean, there's a lot of people that I think could be successful. And we're going to see right now with McFadden. You know, the rebirth of Darren McFadden might surprise some people this year, you know, running behind that offensive line.
Hey, you know what? I hope he's successful because I know Raider fans think you hate him when you say, you know, that line wasn't that good, but it wasn't. And he is injury prone at the same time. But I would like to see what he looks like healthy and with a decent or good line. I think because I liked McFadden when he came out of college. I was always hoping he'd succeed, but it didn't pan out. And if the line stays just as good and he runs with a good vision, I know Raider fans going to be hating themselves.
No Raider fans going to be hating nothing. See, I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you. But I'm biased. It ain't because of the Raiders. It ain't because of my team of Raiders. I'm being biased because it's a running back. And I'm really getting tired of this NFL bullcrap about the value of running backs. Oh, you're almost 30. Oh, you've been in the league this many years. Man, you kill all of that. What do? You come in as a rookie. You don't get a good pay scale because you're a rookie because they chopped that already. So then once you play your little, what, your 3 years, then you're a free agent. Then you get to make a sign with a big team and try to make some big money. You got to get paid some big money. And Jerry Jones is saying, you've been here. Now, I do dig what he's saying because you use DeMarco Murray. Look, he only played healthy 2 years. How many years he was with Dallas? He only played 2 healthy, free, injury-free years there. The rest of the year, he's been hurt.
Absolutely.
And now, so McFadden, name 1 year where that fool wasn't hurt since he came into the league. I'll wait.
I can't. And I agree with you 100%. I can't give you that year because I don't think it's happened.
And that's what I'm saying. Like he played this year. He played this year, but he didn't really get the gore of the ball because we had Murray and then Jones Drew who didn't do nothing either.
Right.
But to your answer, Big C, it wasn't the line because I don't think Derek Carr got sacked too many times. Where our line that wasn't too good, bro. But I didn't want to get into all of that. You guys did that, man. I didn't want to do that.
Well, you know, they got past. Well, what about any other teams? Are you guys looking at Washington? Well, that's the NFC East. Is there any other NFC East moves y'all like or don't like?
I like the Jets.
Well, that's the AFC East. I don't really like
it. I'm extremely fired up about the NFC East. I mean, I think the big splash was the Eagles, you know, and I think obviously the the team right now that people are kind of, you know, pointing and laughing are the Cowboys because of losing DeMarco. But, I mean, the Washington Redskins, who knows what's going on there? I mean, I just read a release that they are willing to reload at the quarterback position already. I mean, what's this, RG3's, is this third year or fourth?
It's his third.
So they're ready to throw him in the trash and go quarterback in the first round. You know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That is the biggest question mark in the league, man, is the quarterback position. Can you find a guy that can function, you know, that can make good decisions? I'm not saying you need Peyton or you need Tom Brady or, you know, Drew Brees is the lead quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. You don't need that. But you need a guy that can function and make smart decisions. And that's why, like, I agree with you, Johnny. I think that the running back position is devalued in the NFL. And I think the teams that are successful, that are successful year in and year out, because you can talk about it all you want about Tom Brady, but did they have a run game in New England? You have to have a sound running back and a decent run game, because that's the one criticism of Chip is, like, can that work? Can you succeed in the NFL and truly, you know, put your defense in that position game in and game out with this tempo? You need to control the clock. You need to control the ball. You need to have possession of the ball. You know what I mean? And you need to have someone that can handle the workload. And if you want to go running back by committee, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm a fan of the workhorse, you know what I mean, the bell cow running backs. And you get in a rhythm in that position. You get in a rhythm as a running back, you know, and your vision is on point, and you're running, and you're on, you know. And it's hard to get in that rhythm when it's your first down, second down back guy comes in for third down. Next series is this guy, blah. You know, I mean, I'm not, and I'll be honest, as an offensive lineman, you feel that rhythm too. You feel that flow when your back is feeling it and you know, grinding on the football field when you're on offense. And these guys that, you know, you're three out, I mean, that's
it's grinding out. And defense is hating. They hate it.
Yeah.
They hate that because you're getting first downs. You keep getting first downs. That kills the D linemen. That kills the linebackers because they're like, damn, these damn linemen, these old linemen are still pulling. They're still coming full blast because I'm not an old lineman, but I know old linemen rather run block than pass block.
Oh, those are plays off for us in the O-line, for offensive line. Pass plays are plays off. Honestly, it's easy. I mean, all you got to do is kick back and, you know, be fundamentally sound. Run block is where we make our money. That's where we love to when we hear, you know, power and we hear, you know, inside zone. And I love that. I mean, that's what makes me happy. I'd like to run the ball every play. Turns out to me.
Just like I said before, like, the NFL is trying to go to this passing. They're trying to do all this. Like Jerry Jones, when he's talking about he won't pay DeMarco Murray because he gets hurt and all that. But your boy Tony Romo, he gets hurt every other year. But you're going to pay him all that ridiculous money. And then you watch what happens. It never ends because football, I don't care how you try to protect, and they want to change rules and they want to do all these little cute things. They try to make the game safer and all that. When the playoffs come, it's still football, okay? As long as there's teams that's going to have outdoor stadiums, it's still going to be football. During the playoff season, the weather is still going to be bad. It's still going to be raining. It's still going to be cold. It's going to be snowing. That football is going to be hard as a rock when you're trying to gun that thing and throw it off crazy.
And catch it.
Yeah, they got to catch the ball. They aren't going to want to catch the damn ball. And it is late in the season, so your little injuries and all that, and that cold-ass weather, it takes a lot longer to warm up, to get right to play them games.
Wait,
them stores.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, JG. Check it out, okay? Would you guys agree that this year was, I don't know statistically, but if you had to say, you know, the last 5 years, which year was Tony Romo's best? I mean, you'd say this year was his best year. I mean, when I think of Romo, I think of someone who makes mistakes when the game is on the line. You know, he's not a very good fourth quarter quarterback. This year he wasn't.
I agree.
The game wasn't put on Tony Romo's back, which allowed him to relax and make smart decisions, and they leaned on DeMarco on the offensive line. And now Tony doesn't have to be the creator. Now he just has to be a facilitator, you know, and he can make little, you know, he can make the important throw when he needs to. Dude, hey, the whole catch, no catch. I mean, by rule, the DeMarco, I mean, the Dez Bryant catch was not a catch. But he was able to make that play because what did everybody think they were going to do on fourth and two? What did they think they were going to do? What I thought they were going to run the rock. And I'm surprised that they didn't run the rock. But he was able to make that throw, which was a great throw. You know what I mean? And take advantage of Green Bay because they had a substantial, the best running game in the NFL last year. And that's why.
Yes, they were.
Your success on offense.
Exactly right. With Tony Romo, that's why he played. This was his best year because it wasn't all on him. It wasn't all on him. He had a counterpunch with the run game, and I kind of feel Jerry Jones with it too. Like you drafted. That's a blueprint. It just looks like that's the perfect way to get your team right. If your O line and your D line is top of the line, it doesn't matter who you put in that running back.
Yep.
It doesn't matter because the line's going to open the hole in the floodgates, and you're going to have room to run. Now, if you don't have half a brain and you don't know how to hit a hole, then you're not going to have a job. But you know how to do that, you're going to have a good year playing behind a line like that.
Yes. Hey, guys. I had to do this. I'm going to let you guys go. We're doing something right now. I'm sorry I'm a little off my game today, but we're traveling. I'm moving around doing 20 million things right now. But, hey, guys, I love talking to you. I would love to stay on for the next 10 minutes, but let me know when the next show is, and I can't wait to call in again and talk to you guys.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
JG, I'll talk to you here in the next couple of days. Big C, it's always a pleasure. I love the NFL. I'll talk to you about it all day long.
All right, brother.
All right, guys. All right, you guys have a good weekend.
You too. So, peace.
All right, bye.
All right, so that's a little bit of the NFL. What do you think about your Trent Richardson pickup?
What's up, man?
And be honest.
Paco up there? Is he coming today?
I like it because It's a low risk, and it's a high reward pickup. It's a low risk, high reward. We didn't have to pay him too much of nothing, and he's a professional running back in the NFL. He's not a rugby player. He's not a soccer guy. He's a running back in the NFL that was a number one overall draft pick. So he really doesn't have too much going for him right now. He has one or two things to do. He comes out here balled out, or he gets released and don't even make it to training camp in the summer. So
well, explain so why you guys are going to be good.
Huh? I didn't hear you. Sorry, say it again. Hello?
Johnny, did you hang up? We'll go to intermission until he calls back.
Oh, they say a black man is a pimp. Well, let me tell you, the biggest pimp on planet motherfucking Earth is her mama. It's her mama that told her, get a man that got a good job, girl. Make sure he got a good car, girl. Make sure he can take you out and buy you something, girl. What happened to just falling in love with a nigga with a bus pass? Just because you love the nigga. But I'm the pimp, motherfucker. I gotta be the player. Biggest hoes on planet Earth are walking through the motherfucking neighborhood. You knew when you got with the nigga, he already had a woman. You knew he already had a family, but you fucked him anyway. And then when you thought you're gonna lose the nigga, you went and got pregnant, didn't you, bitch? Didn't you? The old keeper nigga, baby. And then when the nigga ain't around, What do you tell the child? Oh, that nigga ain't shit. That's why your daddy ain't here, cause that nigga ain't shit. How about being a woman and telling the kid the truth? That your mama, you was a hoe. Tell the kid, mama was a hoe. I was weak and pussy. I had you to keep the nigga. It didn't work out. That's why he ain't here. But he a good nigga, cause he take care of his real family. I was just a dumb bitch trying to keep a nigga that I wanted.
All right, with that little break, that was Eddie Griffin called Ed Education on Dr. Dre 2001 Chronic Seed. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. I like the little fake L. Yeah, I like the fake low risk, low high reward. But I don't agree with you saying that because you don't really like what Niner fans say that. So do you think he's going to be good, or are you just glad you didn't pay too much money for him?
We didn't pay too much. We didn't pay that much for pocket change for him. And
so you don't really think he's going to be that good?
I like our Boy Halu pickup. I like our Boy Halu pickup, you know. So I'm really not worried about it. If he comes in and he balls out, you know, then McKenzie looks like a genius. And if he doesn't ball out, I hear some laughter from Niner fans, but it's not gonna make McKenzie look bad either because he didn't have to pay too much for him. So it's kind of a win-win, period, regardless of what happens. You know, because he comes
well,
in, he's talking like he wants to start. He's talking like he's going to start. And I like that with Jack Del Rio because he told Latavius last year, don't think you just in here. You already got the starter job. You have to work for it. So it's going to bring a competitiveness out there, and it's going to be competition. You guys are going to be out there balling and get that number one spot. So I like it.
Well, why not? I think Chris Johnson could have gave you guys another year. Why not him?
Well, because he just got shot, and I don't want to have to deal with that madness either. Chris Johnson ain't did nothing since he was in Tennessee when he signed that crazy contract that they paid him when he was talking he was going to rush for 2,500 yards or something, and that didn't happen. But he signed that money, and then they sent him out the back door, man. So he just got shot, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that was like last week. No, 2 weeks ago, but, you know, it wasn't before. I thought y'all should have picked him up.
What did he do with New York Jets? Nothing. He did nothing.
Well, I mean, hey, sometimes you need a good offensive line. You can't just – very few Adrian Petersons and other running backs out there can just break through garbage lines. They had no other threat other than the running game. Geno was trash. The next two quarterbacks were trash. That includes Michael Vick. As much as I like him, he was trash out there. He was trash in Philly. So, I mean, you don't need a great quarterback, but if your quarterback can't even get you first down at all, then you're not going to do much as a running back, especially if your whole line is not really good at blocking. So, you know, I just think sometimes you need to leave, but I don't know. I like Trent Richardson. I hope he does better, but I think you guys might have to head to the draft board.
Well, we got the number four pick. We're going to the draft board regardless. And, you know, like I said before, we need a receiver. But if that guy from that D tackle from USC, if he is still on that board after Jacksonville makes their pick, if he's still on that board, we would be stupid not to grab that guy.
Well,
he was only 20 years old, man. And he's the best D tackle in college right now.
So that's who y'all were.
Yeah, that's who I want. It's not him either. It's a toss up with White or Cooper for that receiver for Derek Carr.
We'll see. Sounds like we dug up the plan.
Who are you guys going to pick?
What about?
You know,
I don't know.
Pick up a linebacker. I'm just saying, though.
Well, we might. Is that a problem?
I think no. I think you guys need a linebacker, right?
Oh, need a linebacker.
How many linebackers y'all got now that can actually play football right now? With two, three? How many?
Yeah, probably about. I don't know. We got a few, but it's a lot of things
third
we need
string,
to look
fourth,
up.
Third string, fourth string. The nightmare ain't over,
saying,
brother. It just started. The nightmare is not over. It just started.
Well, why is it a nightmare? Why do you think it's a nightmare?
Because I have something like this. I've never seen something like this happen to any.
So how do you know? If you've never seen it, if you've never seen it, why is it a nightmare? Because you've never seen it. So you can, just like you've never seen what Chip Kelly is doing. But shouldn't you wait until afterwards to say, okay, that was bad, if you've never seen it, according to you?
I could say that, but then I would be lying because it's about what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling about it. It looks like a nightmare. It looks like a massacre. Ever since Jim Harbaugh left, it's like your team went to caca, man. It's just...
Well, here's the thing.
You can't make this stuff up, man.
Well, here's the thing for the caca you said. Patrick Willis. I like Patrick Willis, but the past two seasons, he was very slow. He wasn't the Patrick Willis fans loved and players were intimidated. You can say he was just because you want to, be funny, but he slowed down a lot the past few years. This other running back that claimed he retired because of, head trauma or whatever, he couldn't do a lot of things. He could run downhill and get you. He couldn't keep up with nobody. He wasn't – you don't want to lose anybody that young. So I'm not like, saying he wasn't shit, but I'm like, he wasn't an integral part of our defense to where you would definitely miss him. Or do you think he was?
But he was backing up Patrick Willis, right?
You can replace him.
Huh?
You can replace him. He was a rookie.
Okay.
Can't you replace him with another rookie?
I guess you can, but he wasn't a – he played 1 year, so – you're going to have to start all over again. You're going to have to get another rookie, and you don't know how – he might not pan out. You never know.
He might not. Exactly. So you don't really know what's going to happen. You just – you really just hoping for the worst, obviously. But in terms of thinking logical, we can't say we actually took a step back. I mean, we look at the run game. We still got Carlos Hyde. That's still actually – and who else did we just pick up? We got the who did we just pick up? Reggie Bush. I know he's a little bit injured home, but that's not a bad pickup. Got the rugby guy. We don't know what's going to happen with that, but it's really going to – I really think our offense is going to be predicated on how they play it. Colin Kaepernick.
He's going to follow.
He's a quarterback. Well, that's what I said, but you have to play to his ability. You can't make him play the way you want him to play. So maybe these coaches that have been working with our team for so long, maybe they will play that way. And then our defense, I don't like losing cornerbacks. I don't like losing all our defensive players that we've been losing. But I don't know. We don't know yet. They still
gave up.
I'm
just saying, as far as with your team, man, if Kaepernick's not running – You guys gonna win three football games, though, 3 to 4 football games next year, Rick. If he's not running, if he's just sitting in that pocket and trying to throw like he did last year, you guys aren't winning more than three games.
so that our team is not really cocked out right now, because you don't know what our team's going to do next year.
I know your defense is not going to be top five in the league, and I'll bet my first quarter. My first quarter y'all won't be a top five D this year.
How do you know?
I bet my first quarter. You can't replace experience, dude. You can't replace experience. You're going to have your corners are going to be young. Your linebacker core is absent. You got a basket case playing DN. You just picked up a free agent from Arizona who's got one knee. I don't see you got, and he can't run D for nothing. He can't play the run to save his life. But he can rush the quarterback. But that's not what y'all brought him over here for. And like I said before, he's got one knee over there. Last time I checked, he needed two knees to play football.
Is he still playing? It sounds like he's still playing.
He sat out all of last year.
He sat out, recovered.
ACL.
And you don't think he recovered, right?
No. And no, your boy Navarro Bowman, yeah. He tore what, ACL and an MCL? And he ain't even passed the physical yet? I don't even think he's physical to run yet. But that's who y'all starter guy is going to be. See, all you got to do is all these things
but,
right here.
Hey, but didn't we just play a season without him? But we just played a season without him, right?
Sorry, I can't catch that. Say that again, sorry.
I said we just played a season without Navarro Bowman.
Right.
So, again, how are we losing? Because what you're saying is you're naming people that are already replaced or that didn't even have an impact as much last year.
Exactly. But your corners that were there last year, they're not there now. They're gone too.
Right. That's the one I don't like, but we also saw when we played a team with a good quarterback, weren't they getting lit up?
It's your boy, your cowboy, is he Justin Smith? Is he playing or he's retired too?
I don't know. Did they say he was retiring?
I don't know yet. I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Oh, then why'd you bring it up?
Well, because that's been a topic too. They're saying that he was supposed to retire last year, and so they were talking about retiring this year. But he hasn't went on public and said anything.
Well, then
so,
I don't know about
you,
but I don't deal with it. I don't know about you, but I don't deal with NBA rumors. I'd rather just wait or NFL rumors. I'd rather just wait until we actually see. You know.
Okay, so Crabtree,
I'll listen to
guys, is he coming back or what? Because we went to Miami, I guess they didn't like what he brought. So is he coming back to you guys or what?
I'm not sure, but I don't like Crabtree anyway. So I don't. We got Jerome Simpson and we picked up Torrey Smith. Losing Crabtree wouldn't be a big drop off if that makes sense. This is what I didn't like about Crabtree. First, he came into the league acting like he's owed a lot of money. That, to me, didn't really stick. It wasn't like he got shafted on money. He just thought that he deserved more, and I didn't really like that. And then and one thing I don't like is he doesn't fight for the football when it comes down to him and another player. He doesn't physically fight. Now, I'm not a receiver. No.
Yeah, he's got those alligator arms and sticks out the contact. Yes, he does.
Well, it is the alligator arm because, you know, it's more like, okay, when he does a comeback route or a fade or sideline, when he knows there's a cornerback riding him, he doesn't, like, try to fight for a position. He doesn't put forth the effort to go for that ball. And I'm talking about not – there's a lineman coming straight at him or a linebacker coming straight at him to hit him. I'm talking about, like, if you and I are running next to each other, bumping shoulders, he just lets you overpower him to get the ball. I've seen that on a lot of pick sixes by Colin Kaepernick. Now, I'm not saying those were great passes, but you got to fight for the ball. You can't just leave your quarterback.
Yeah, he could have gave a better effort. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I'm like Singletary. I'd rather, you know, play with 10 people and get penalized until I have to do something different, because Crabtree wouldn't have lasted that long on my team. I you know, I don't need the best player, but I do need effort. And I'll take Torrey Smith. I like Torrey. Jerome Simpson, if he stays out of trouble, he's pretty athletic. He can jump. I don't know about his route running yet, but, two for one ain't bad. And we still got Bolden. Bolden ended up one of my favorite receivers just because the way he be acting on the field.
Y'all got that rugby guy, too.
We mentioned him. We got him. We got Reggie Bush. And we got, what's his name? Carlos Hyde. So I don't really think we took a drop off like people think.
I don't see your D as a top five D, though. I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening.
Well, no, I didn't say we would.
Kaepernick's going to have to score some points. He's going to have to put up 20, 25 points a game, though. He's going to have to. If that's Carlos,
no,
give it to Carlos Hyde 40 times, then give it to Carlos Hyde 40 times. Going to have to put up over. He's going to have to score more than 3 touchdowns every game. I'm expecting.
Well, first of all, I don't even know if Tom Brady put up 25 points a game. They averaged 29, and I think there was some rushing touchdowns in that. But if you said like 2, and then we get some rushing, because you know what, we get to the red zone, we just got to run the ball more. I'm not sure why we don't run. Maybe our run deep offense wasn't as good as I thought. Maybe our O line wasn't as good as I thought it could have been. But.
Y'all lost y'all best O-line, too. He's in Arizona.
Yeah.
Best rushing line in Arizona.
That's not the end of the world. So, to me, as frustrated as I was to lose.
Y'all lost Jonathan Martin, too. Y'all lost that guy, too.
Well, he didn't. Well, you act like he was a big impact, though.
Was he a starter?
He didn't start the whole season. And I think he actually started when someone got hurt. I don't think he was our starter. But the thing is, you really haven't showed a significant loss, if that makes sense. So bad that, now we won some close games and we also lost some close games. So I don't know where we'll be. But I, you know, and I don't like the coaching change only because I don't feel like our team needed to start over. Like, what we did with our organization, it looked like something you would do with Buffalo or Cleveland. Like, you know what? Start this shit over. Blow it up. We start over. That's what I don't like. But, you know, sometimes you just got to hope for the best. And maybe this coaching change will work. You know, maybe these players will respond better. Maybe, you know, we got issues like calling timeouts. Maybe they'll fix that because we had a problem with timeouts and delay of games. And
I blame that on Harbaugh because it was a lot of crucial time where you should have called a timeout just to let everybody get their heads together, and he wouldn't do it. So I blame that on the coaching.
Yeah, see. And I'm not sure, you know, there's some things where, a change might make this a little better. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not really jumping the gun too much right now. Like I said, I wish we would have got a big name coach. But you being a former athlete like me, it's not always the coach. It's really the players you have. What is our leadership going to be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not saying we're gonna be good. By the way, I'm just I don't like how that went down, and players are leaving. It doesn't sound good when players want to retire versus like, you know, I want to stay. But like I said, now it's at the point you just hope something you don't see is would get better.
Well, we're gonna see. We're gonna see what's gonna happen. Your coach really don't have a, you know, based off of the track record of how your upper management, how they deal with coaches. I don't think he's gonna have. He's gonna be on a long leash. He's gonna be on a short, tight leash, and this could determine his fate. What you guys do this year, or dealing with your head coach.
Now let's move on to a little bit of basketball. Now the MVP race. I know every fan of their team, or let's just say a couple teams, such as Oklahoma, Houston, and Warriors. Each team has a reason why they believe their player is the MVP. Now, I'm not even going to ask you who you think it is because I already know. I want you to see if you could actually make a case for why Westbrook or Harden should be the MVP.
Out of those two, I'm going to have to pick Harden.
Each one. I want you to give each reason why one of them should be
MVP.
Oh,
you want to catch for each one? Okay. I don't know if Westbrook, like, he's having a great year after the All-Star break.
No, actually, like, before,
I don't recall he's doing what he's doing now before the All-Star break. I don't recall him playing.
Well, he didn't have his long stretches. He's having, like, an incredible amount of stretches. You know, 4 or 5 games in a row where he's just killing.
And, you know, Kevin Durant, he's deactivated for the whole year now. And
it's
pretty much
for most of the
Ibaka's gone. And it's pretty much on Westbrook's shoulders. So
they've been without Ibaka.
But are they in the playoffs, or are they still like hanging on the hairs of their chin? Like, are they still hanging off the cliff, or are they officially in now?
There's no official with them, but that's besides the point. Or are you one of those people to believe you got to be one of the best teams to get the MVP?
I don't like how they're doing. I don't know what they're judging this off of. Like, I thought the MVP meant that you're the most valuable player on the team, to where if you don't play, your team does nothing. Your team
Here's the thing. Now, people didn't think Kobe should be MVP, but you see what the Lakers look like. They look worse than a D-League team when he actually wasn't playing. When he was there, I know people said he hogged, he don't make no one better, but they were winning. Now when he's gone, they ass. And that's why, even before this, like when I look at football, you know, I look at like Adrian Peterson, he's on a trash team, but you know he's that MVP. I'm not with your team has to be one of the top 5 in the league in order to have an MVP, because sometimes you're just that good and you know your team would be a lot worse without you. And right now, OKC is the bubble team, and Durant's been hurt half the season, Ibaka's been hurt half the season, but Westbrook is that guy. And I don't think you can put Harden on that team or Curry to replace Westbrook and they still be where they're at. I don't believe you could.
I you know what, I can agree with you with that. If you switch them around, would the team still be doing what they're doing? And I hear you on that. But I don't like the bad rap they're giving Steph Curry because his team is just so dominant. That's pretty much the same pack of guys that was there last year too. It ain't really no different. We picked up Andre Iguodala and Barbosa and a few other bench guys, but it's pretty much been the same team as it was last year and the year before that. Like, I don't like how they're knocking Stephen Curry out of this race. Like, because he's not playing in the fourth quarter. He doesn't have to. We're blowing teams out by duh. By the third quarter, he don't have to keep playing in those games.
Well, the thing, what it is like, I agree with you. if you guys are whooping ass so bad the first three quarters, why do I need to wait? But I think that lets you know that that's how good the team is, because they now see, here's my other problem with that, with people saying he's not finishing in the fourth, because the Bulls were that damn good. I don't like when people act like Jordan playing with the scrub team in the NBA. You don't go 72-10 with a bad team. I don't care who you are. You just don't do it. And he got MVP all those seasons when they went to the championship. And I agree with you to an extent that and because even when he left, matter of fact, when he left for a season and a half, the Bulls were still doing exactly what they did with Jordan, except didn't look as good because they didn't have the highlights, so they was missing like an extra 15-point difference. But with Curry, do you think he can be replaced and they still be just as good?
No.
So you don't think if they had maybe –
Curry is the nucleus of that team, man. Steve Curry ain't doing nothing over there. Steve Curry just walking around in his little suit, man. He ain't doing nothing. We ain't going to see that until playoffs, because that's when the game gets slowed down and it's in a bigger scope. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's all about matchups and all that fast-breaking – running gun basketball, it doesn't work in the playoffs. It's going to be basically two guys scoring the whole game. You know, so that's when coaching is going to get involved. And then that's what we're going to see if what Kerr is really about.
But yeah, I actually believe that Mark Jackson did good with that team. You know, I know a lot of people think Kerr did better, but I honestly believe this is just a development. What they've been in the league 4 years, like this is just Curry and Clay and everybody else getting better. I don't know if Jackson was that bad of a coach that people act like he was, but the team was getting better under him every year. And this is what you get, you know, a couple years later, you finally start getting what you built. But as far as Curry, the MVP, I do think he's up there in the conversation. But I don't think his team would have a complete drop-off if you replaced him with other point guards. Now, you know, the team would look a little different. Like, if you got Kyrie Irving, he does like to hold the ball a little more. But I think you guys would still be just as good. If he went out, you guys would still be one of the better of the team. But I think without James Harden, the Rockets wouldn't be good.
Oh, they would. And that's what I'm saying, too. Like, Dwight is supposed to be trying to come back, like, I don't know, this week or next week. And then you'll see. You'll see. Like, is Harden going to still play the same, or is he going to give Dwight his touches?
Like, right.
We're going to see. Because you're right, Harden is a superstar over there, you know. And if he doesn't play, I don't see Houston making the playoffs or doing anything.
And that's how I look at MVP. Like you said earlier, what difference is he making? You know, like you said, he's the I think you said the GM or something of that team, Steph Curry to the Warriors, but. I think another, you know, he shoots so damn well. That's the hard part. There isn't a point guard that shoots like him. That's the bigger difference. You know what I mean? Like, he shoots well, and he creates so much because of his shooting. That's his advantage over most point guards. But, you know, I don't even know who I have in my MVP. I think it is close. I think it's close between Harden and James Harden and Westbrook, because, like I said, I don't think their teams would be where they are without them two. But what makes Steph the reason you think he's the MVP?
It's just what he what he brought to this team, man. And he's a leader. He's a leader among men. He's leading this team, and they're behind him, and they believe it. They believe the sky's the limit, what we going to do. And
right.
I just see that when he's on the court with them. But he's not playing. It just doesn't look the same.
Right.
And so that's why I'm feeling that. But, you know, they always been ragging on the Warriors for decades. So it's kind of
been ragging on the Warriors.
Media period. ESPN is just starting to get on board now. Man, we've been doing this all year, man. And I can remember when I talked to you in Cold Peace many moons ago. And I told you what the Warriors were going to do. I was really adamant on that. You know, it's almost there. And I don't want to get the egg before they hatch. I have to wait. You know what I'm saying? But I'm really a patient guy. But I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait, and it's bittersweet because I want Stephen Curry to get MVP. But the knock on him is that our team is the best team in NBA. So it's bittersweet.
Well,
like,
no one,
I want anybody. We are the best team.
Well, no one's knocking the Warriors. It's just, it's a, you know, I mean, look, you're getting hyped right now because your team is winning. You should know better that it's one of those things where let's just wait until they actually start getting past the first or second round. Johnny, you should know that. You're acting brand new to this part of the game. You know, y'all look good the past two seasons. You look good in the past with Baron Davis, and y'all didn't quite do anything past the first and second round. And so I think that's what other fans are looking at. And I'm the same way, not with you guys, but in general. Like the way you are with the Niners, we make it look good, but what happens when you get to the playoffs? So why is it different all of a sudden for the Warriors? Why aren't you saying, you know, I like what we're doing, but let's see what we actually do in the playoffs?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard when it's your team. Like what you were saying, like, see, you're more calm laid back about it because you got what, 16 championships? So
yeah.
This is nothing new to you. You know, we only got three.
Well, it's a funny part.
It's been so long since we won anything. So this is really exciting.
Well, you know,
really
the funny part to me is the Warrior fans celebrating the Pacific Division title. And what I was trying to tell people is, you know, a division title is good in high school. It's decent in college, you know, only if you win the division against your rivals, not if you just win the division against the bum team that slept through. So why, and you should, come on, Johnny, you got to back me up. Why are y'all celebrating the division title in the NBA?
COP, man. COP. And that's the first one. Now we going to get
no,
to
No, that's not a championship. That's not a championship. That's a division.
We are division champions. We are division champions.
Okay, you want to tell me that?
It's the truth.
Anyway,
we are division champions right now.
All right, I hear that. Well, anyway, yeah, it was another good show, and we will let you guys know when we get the next one rolling. Until then, I'm Big C with JG the Three. And we'll holler at y'all.
Peace. Speaking on the homies.